That last song, getting back to the heart of worship, where it's all about Jesus. That's why we're here. We're here to worship Him, but also to worship Him together as one. And if you're visiting with us, that's what we want. We want a place where people can come and gather with like-minded believers, those who have put their faith in Jesus, and come and just worship Him. And so I hope that's what you find by visiting here this morning. Last week we had a pretty good turnout for our prayer service, and I wanted to say thank you to those who are here, but also it's very important that as a church body that we are taking time to be in prayer for church, prayer for our community. So and I realize I'm not trying to make you feel guilty if you weren't able to come. I hope that you are praying for those things wherever you may be, and I hope that everyone is in prayer for not only just the church, but our impact in the community as well for Christ. I mean, that's really what we want. Also, in that prayer service, Jeff Ford shared a little bit of his testimony. Thank you for sharing. And if you missed it, you'll have to talk to him and find out what he shared. But God is so good. He is so good. I have been going through the first letter of Peter, going through 1 Peter kind of little by little. And so that is the series I am in. And 1 Peter, the overall theme is a steadfast faith. And today, or in last week's sermon, we really looked at what it means to call upon God as our Father. And He, like a good Father, has provided a way that we can be with Him through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus, His Son. And though we call Him Father, we also recognize that God is also an impartial judge that is to be honored, respected, and revered. Our posture, our approach to Him is to be one of not just of love for Him, but also a reverent fear. That's where we get that honored and respected and revered. And He is not to be treated this way just because He is our judge, but because He is God. And He loved us and loves us enough to provide a way for us to be with Him, to be redeemed. And now today we're going to continue with the next few verses in 1 Peter. If you'd like to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be starting with verse 22. I'll be reading through verse 25. So 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. If you don't have a Bible or electronic device with you, you can follow along on the screen. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. It's interesting that Peter shifts a little in his topics, and we'll even see here this morning, we're going to see a shift in just the verses that we're looking at here today. But in the previous verses, we know that Peter discussed being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And here we see he jumps a little bit to saying, purified yourselves by obeying the truth. There are expectations that we see here but are not necessarily completely expressed. We look at God as our Heavenly Father, who is close to us in a relationship. He's close in like a loving father-child relationship. And with that, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. It's interesting, though, that it appears that we are also being purified by obeying the truth. Well, what is truth? What would Fox News or CNN News or any of these other news sites, what would they tell you the truth is? What's truth? How about my neighbor down the road? If I asked him, what's truth? If I ask you, what's truth? The funny thing is in today's day and age, it's a little harder to tell. It's a little harder to know what's truth. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Truth is from God. That's just a simple, simple answer. Truth is from the Lord. It is to walk in His ways. I also find John 14:6 a little interesting. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He's also the truth. So when we're looking at, okay, the truth is from God, we also see that Jesus, that's who's saying this phrase in John 14:6, Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we know that Jesus, the Son of God, is also truth. So looking at the verse that we're going through today in 1 Peter, obeying the truth is also being obedient to Christ and following Him. When reading that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22, I'm drawn to another passage that kind of expresses, I think, what Peter's getting at here. So I'd like to read that one to you as well, 1 John 1:6-7. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. I'm going to take this verse here and I'm going to reword it a little bit. I'm not sure. I think there's a Bible that's called the Amplified Bible. I probably should have looked at that one up. But sometimes this Bible will kind of reword things in different ways to try and help bring out the truth of it. So this is Pastor Joey's Amplified Version. I probably should have put it up on the screen. But if we claim to have fellowship with Him, if we claim to have fellowship with God the Father, yet we walk in darkness, that means if we walk in sin, deliberately walk in sin, then we are living a lie, as we're not living by the truth. We are not living in Christ, and therefore we are not truly fellowshipping with the Father. But if we walk in the light, that means if we walk with Christ, if we walk in the truth found in God's Word and in His good news and in Christ, if we walk in that truth, then we have a deep fellowship with God as Christ's blood purifies and cleanses us from all sin. I know I could probably lose you on those, but Peter has an expectation that his audience already has a true fellowship, a true relationship with God, as they're now calling God their Father. We saw that in the previous sermon. And because we are willing, obedient children who are living every day in adoration and reverence of God, we are living in and obedient to His truth, in obedience to His Son Jesus. That's when we are walking in His ways. That's what we're doing. We are looking to be obedient to His truth and His word. I'd like to read another passage out of 1 John. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Kind of getting back into the purification with this verse. We talked last week about being children of God, but this is a topic that runs deep in who we are. Though we are adopted as children of God, there is much that we... As children of God, there's a lot of things that we do know because we have Scripture. But there's also a few things that remain a mystery. And this points out, okay, we're going to be like Jesus when He returns. What is that fully going to look like? Some of that's a mystery. But what we do know is that when we're living for Christ, when we have put our hope in Him, He removes that layer of sin that keeps us from the Lord. He purifies us. John tells his readers that everyone who has that eternal hope through Jesus Christ is purified. And I would say a lot has to do with living holy lives, living a life that is separated from sin. It is living a life in Christ. It's living a life in truth and in hope of eternity to come. Everyone who has faith. Now, faith is not just acknowledging Jesus' existence, but faith is what moves us to action and change. Faith that follows all that Jesus spoke of, the faith that moves us to follow Jesus' example while He was here and living and in His ministry. Following Christ is living a holy life marked by repentance and a full submission to God. I'd like to look again at that first verse in 1 Peter that we're reading. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. See, I kind of went through the whole purification, but it seems like Peter's now transitioning, okay, now that you've done that, now that you are living for Christ, here's what I expect. Here's what you need to do. You need to love. We've spent weeks looking at various topics found in this first chapter of 1 Peter, and almost all of those topics revolve around Christ's sacrifice in some way. Christ giving Himself in obedience to the will of the Father. But Jesus and God the Father have something that continues to be expressed throughout all of those. They love us. John 3:16, I know many of you know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because of God's great love, He sent His Son. Because of Jesus' great love, He willingly went to the cross. Because it is His great love for us, He willingly went to the cross and fulfilled the Father's will. As we put our faith and hope in Jesus, we we are now to share that same love we've received with others. I think it's interesting how a lot of this is worded, not just here, but fellow believers is worded as brothers and sisters. The reality is that when we put our faith in Jesus, we become children of God. So that means we're all brothers and sisters. Cal, you're a brother. An older brother. But a brother. Actually, that is there. You see, that last part of verse 22 seems a little repetitive, though. It seems a little bit repetitive, and then it says, have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply. Now, the love that you should have for each other is expressed very, it's expressed very interestingly here, just in this verse. A sincere love for your brothers and sisters. There are actually several words in Greek that are translated to our love in English. Phileo or Philadelphia love is that brother-sister kind of love. It's a familiar family or very close relationship type of love. Then there's also the agape love, which is the godly love and unconditional love. And it's interesting that both of those are used in this verse. Because of Christ and our faith in Him and receiving Him, we should have a sincere Philadelphia love. So that very first part there is a Philadelphia love. We are to have a sincere brotherly love or sincere sisterly love, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I find it interesting that Peter calls for not just that Philadelphia love, he has to put another word there to describe that kind of love, a sincere love for one another. Now, I find it interesting because can't we just say, you know, have a brotherly, sisterly love for one another? Why would Paul need to point out it needs to be a sincere love? This is a love that can't be hypocritical. It can't be fake. It can't be just words, but not meant. It has to be real. There's a phrase that I've heard a number of times, and if you've said it to me, I don't remember it. What I'm remembering is from others that are not from this church, but here's the saying. God says I need to love them, but He didn't say I need to like them. That phrase is incorrect. And here's the scripture in 1 Peter. That phrase is not a biblical one. Can I really love you and dislike you at the same time? I think that's what Peter's getting at here. This is what Peter is addressing when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that church can get interesting. There are all sorts of people in churches, and I'm not just speaking about Christ Community Church. Church in general. Not everyone's the same. We have differences, and sometimes those differences kind of clash. Personality differences can clash. Not everyone is the same. And what is Peter calling for? He's calling for a genuine love and concern for fellow believers. It needs to be genuine. I mean, if you think of the context of this, the believers in Asia Minor, the ones that Peter's writing to, they were being persecuted. They were being singled out and dealt with harshly at times, being persecuted. It's bad enough to deal with the hardships of persecution, but if they didn't genuinely love one another as brothers and sisters, then there's a disconnect between them and Christ. If Christ is in them and He is in you, there's no room for double-mindedness when it comes to loving and caring for fellow believers, to have a sincere love. I was thinking about kind of our day and age today. We have so many varieties of denominations and things, different beliefs, and how many times do we quickly look at what divides us instead of what unites us? How many times do we look for the minuscule things that are different, yet ignore the real important things, like Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came and ministered. He willingly suffered, died on the cross, and rose again. Some of those things, I mean, that is a core part of Christianity. The color of a chair in a sanctuary, or whether to put wallpaper in a church, some of those things will divide churches. Little things. I think it's important that we truly do our best to show that brotherly, sisterly love for one another. I was kind of wondering, in this scenario, having a conversation with God, you know, God is saying, I could try and put on a God voice, but I'm not sure what God really sounds like. Sometimes it's really quiet. But He's saying here, love one another. Here's a whiny voice. But God, those people sing just hymns. But God, they don't use the King James Bible. What am I supposed to do? Love them. Yeah, but those people, they attend a Catholic church. Or, no, God, those people, they attend a Pentecostal church. Amen. They use drums. What am I supposed to do? Love them. But God, they have this other doctrine that I don't agree with. That people have argued over for centuries, but I don't agree with it. What am I supposed to do? Love them. Love them. Yeah, sometimes things can get annoying. Some things we disagree with. Some things don't fit what we often think. But we are called to a genuine love for one another. Just think, the many, many local churches that we have around the world, if they were truly close, we can be different, we can have different worship styles, but we can also love. Something I've appreciated around this area, a number of the churches, pastors that I frequently meet with, we're all different. If we go down the list of what we believe and don't believe, we're going to find areas that we're different, but you know what? We're friends. And we work together. Just imagine the impact the church could have for the kingdom if more of that happened. Well, I got off my notes by quite a bit here. So we've looked at brotherly, sisterly love. We've seen the impact that that has. I'd like to read out of 1 John 4:19-21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's pretty interesting how Peter and John are getting pretty clear, giving us a pretty clear picture of what our attitude towards fellow believers should be. As children of God, our relationship with God is pretty important. Our relationship with Him is very important. And He's saying, yes, but also your relationship with each other is important. God sent His Son for us. Another illustration to share with you. Not that this has happened to me, but how many of you, or maybe you know someone, how many have planned a trip of a lifetime with their family? They put many, many hours of planning into it. They spared no expense. And they went to a place that they're only going to go to once in their lifetime. This is going to be a family vacation like none other. And then when you get on the vacation, there's nothing but fighting. And what was supposed to be a vacation with many, many great memories ends up being a vacation, making memories the wrong way. Again, I haven't experienced this, but I know families that have. What I'm getting at here is, you look at God's overall plan. His love for us, He sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus endured terrible pain and anguish. He chose to give His life for us. Give us freedom. How many of us take that freedom and just fight with one another? And I think, what is God thinking? What does He think when He's done all of this for us and we just take it for granted? But again, there's going to be times of tension because we're different. We're going to come into these relationships working, but we're going to come into these relationships with a genuine love, a brotherly love, as our goal is to show a godly love that has been shown us. We didn't deserve it. We were rebels. We were sinners. We were filthy and unclean, and Jesus loved us in spite of that, and He gave His life to make us clean. He keeps guiding us, and yes, He's still correcting us. All of us need correcting. I'm being corrected frequently. But all of this is done in perfect love because God loves us. So I'd like to share 1 Corinthians 13:3-8 to just look at a little bit more of what love is. Starting with verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, we see starting what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This kind of love doesn't just happen. This is a love that comes from the Lord. It's a love that the Spirit brings in our lives. Our sinful natures fight at these every step of the way. There's going to be times where, you know, you need to respond with kindness. Patience. You know you need to respond that way, but every fiber does not want to do that. I can say that because that's something I struggle with. But we have been made new by the Holy Spirit through the work of Jesus. He's made us new. We accept Christ. We are born again. What I love is that everything done by the Lord is for the eternal kingdom work. And God's word, God's truth, God's love, it lasts forever. But whenever we... whatever we do to elevate ourselves, or whatever we do to build our status or gain glory or have these great accomplishments or accumulating wealth, you know, all those things are going to wither and fall. Even healthy living lifestyles, yep, you heard it from me. Even a healthy living lifestyle might, it possibly could prolong your life just a little bit. But you're still not going to last forever. Peter quotes Isaiah by saying that people are like grass, and all accomplishments they have made wither and fall. When we are born again, we receive the eternal Son who is not perishable. Let us keep our eyes on Christ and His Word and His truth and His love as things that last forever. Peter's audience, they knew the good news. They knew Christ. And they're being reminded of it here. Again, persecution might have been distracting for them. Probably should have read that again, but you've got those verses there. Anyways, Peter's audience, they knew the good news of Christ. Because Peter's saying, you were preached this already. Remember. Don't fail to love your fellow believers. Don't be distracted by that. They are following Christ. They are loving others like Christ loves us. Everything around us is temporary, and our relationship with God is forever. It's easy to be distracted by things that aren't going to last. But remember, what we're doing each and every day, we need to be intentional about the things that last forever. It's His Word, His truth, living for Christ. Love.